gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll, on a honey.
Blues had a baby and they called it rock and roll. Rock and roll had a baby and they called it Joe Perry. It's not just the blues.
It's kind of a roots record for us.
We're really excited about it. It's a different record than we've made in many years.
We did our own take on it. It's not blues songs like you would think.
We turn our amps up so loud that we could never really call it a blues album. It's a rock record.
In the end, I think you just get the feeling that it's just going to sound like an Aerosmith rock record with a couple of blues songs thrown in.
And it's the songs we cut our teeth on. You know, we're going back to songs that we heard that inspired us to even be in this band.
I'd leave out Bobo and call it Honkin' On.
It's actually Honkin' On Bobo. We just know that it's a phrase that sounds jazzish, nastyish. So it works for us.
It's Honkin' On Bobo. It's Honkin' On Bobo.
A lot of fans have come up to us and said, wow, well, we like your latest record, but when are you going to make a record like the old days?
Years and years ago, we thought, like, we should do a blues album someday, because we've always had blues songs that we meant to put on records that never wound up on records, that wound up in the attic somewhere. We're doing some blues songs that go way back into the history, I mean, that were recorded a really long time ago. Mm-hmm. And we'll go and really concentrate on trying to get the feel of just the way they played it. You know, these guys that have been playing it every night in clubs all over the Delta. And we get that, but then it somehow turns into, you know, the Aerosmith version of it. And it's got just, you know, I don't know, the amps are loud or something. But it's...
Well, blues, a little funk to it.
Blues has this, right?
Yeah.
And the rock and roll just brings it up a notch. In fact, it was a blues-based rock and roll song that got me together with Joe and Tom. You know, we had an A&R man, when we played him The Rough of Love in an Elevator, said, that sounds like a bunch of blues riffs, which it was, which we are.
So I'll take you into where we recorded the record.
Honkin' On Bobo.
In the Boneyard. Well, we really planned on just rehearsing for it down here.
We didn't really know how this was going to turn out. Everybody had a different idea of what an Aerosmith blues record was going to sound like, actually to the point where people were wondering what the hell we were doing down here. I mean, I'm talking about people in the band when I say people. I mean, there were some guys in the band that just didn't see any reason for even doing this. It sounded like a good idea to get in a little room and play and hang out with our old friend Jack Douglas. We really didn't have an idea where it was going to end up. We just knew that if we got in the room and started playing, that something good had to come out of it. And if something didn't come out of it, we'd come up with some good B-sides and a lot of good stories.
I was really amazed at the way Joe jumped into this record. I just picture him down there with his amps, you know, searching for these sounds that were invented years ago before we had good technology. He really lived it. He really became the record.
You're messing around all the time. You don't stop messing around. You'll be somebody's baby.
performances is really inspiring, because he, you know, he's a great musician, but he went beyond himself on this one. Steven really had to let go on this record because it was pretty experimental. His spirit came out and he evoked, you know, the spirits of, I think, the grandfathers of the great blues players.
Well, I feel right now when my baby's leaving on that midnight train.
Something in there that's from somewhere else. I don't know where, but it came out on the record.
Steven is definitely a band leader.
Just do one, so we go, oh, that's great, so we know, and then we can move on.
Okay, but
he's always fine-tuning. He got really incredible set of ears. And he can really listen to the whole picture. It's not easy to do.
He just wants it to be the best that it can be, man, and we all do.
He's just got great ears.
You can drive a song or you can make it sit still, you know, depending on just how you play and what kind of feel you play with bass. And Tom, on this record, you know, went from that kind of sloppy, kind of almost falling off the chair kind of bass playing, the walking bass kind of stuff on Eyesight to the Blind, to this incredibly tight, pumping stuff on Shame, Shame, Shame. I mean, he really stepped up to the plate on this one. I think that, you know, bass players and drummers get the, you know, the least amount of credit, but they're the ones that really drive the whole thing. I mean, think of one song that doesn't have a snare drum in it. You know, I mean, everybody. I mean, you can leave a lot of instruments behind, but you can't leave the snare drum behind.
I saw Joey really step out. He did a lot of stuff where he laid back, he used brushes. Joey likes to rock out, he loves to hit hard and really slam the drums.
A lot of the charm of some of the earlier records that we all know and love, there's a lot of that so-called room bleed into the microphones. That's what gives it that sound. It gives it that energy and that kind of that overall feeling that you're in the room with the band. And when the band is rocking out, the whole thing takes on a life of its own. It's like a wild beast you let out of the cage. When you put headphones on and listen to the tracks, you can hear a seamless performance from every guy in the band, from front to back. It's live.
When I'm a roadrunner, honey.
That was it. We have it now. Let's roll tape.
Brad, be afraid. Be very afraid. Cause it'll make you lay way back. Yeah.
bring him into the studio so we can hear him. Really
good. And I'm cheap. I don't know why you do them things to me.
780 going into G. Which is okay for us.
To correspond exactly?
Yeah, I don't know, but we need to know what it is.
So, whatever
you want.
One, two, three,
no matter what.
Let's do it. Come on, let's cut some.
It does the
let's eight. Cut it, baby. Come on.
One, two, three. Yeah.
You're no good. Heartbreaker.
felt good in here. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, that felt like a good one.
I said, listen, that felt really good.
Excited, you came in upstairs there, and then went, oh, I gotta bring it down. Oh God,
I make a CD.
Great feeling.
The band has to bring it up, man. You know, I'm just waiting for the band to get up there so I can step on my buzz tone.
Okay, so on three, on that midnight train. When you hear midnight train, we'll just start bringing it up. And for right now, I'll go like this as I'm singing. Just to... Yeah, from the top.
Now I feel right now, my baby leaving on that midnight train, and I'm crying.
There's a couple more verses after that.
You think?
I think there is.
Play it.
Paul, can you play the CD but move it past the...
That feels good though.
Oh, that was so good. My ears are sizzling. When you fucking picked up, I had your drums up and Tom up and everybody, it just blew me out of here. Brad, that sounded great, man, out of the box. Yeah, that's great.
Let's play a club tonight.
Yeah, we should do a warm-up gig at Mount Blue.
If we fucking played that shit, people would go nuts.
They'd lose it. Oh, especially when you bring it down.
When we play that shit,
we're going to go a little sooner this time. After two, three go-arounds.
You gonna show me the outtakes?
I will.
Good. Clean cut, all American. Look at that face. You know how many police walls you've seen that on? Right here. Wanted in 29 states. This guy, the most well-kept secret in America, and him. All right.
Well, you know, if you're sitting on this side, you can see those, and if you're sitting on that side, you can see those. But if you're also looking at the airplane.